streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio and noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right. Here we go. Playoffs have begun in earnest. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. My favorite, one of my favorite times of the year. Playoffs start about 10 days later, the NFL draft. We got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks here. Fantastic basketball. Now, Boston's probably going to run through the East like a hot knife through very warm butter. That I suspect will happen. The Knicks, wonderful story, is a better story than a team. But out west, here comes Sacramento, OKC, Minnesota, Denver, Lakers, interesting teams.
Well, just remember, Heat Sixers tonight, right? And the loser potentially is the 8 seed. You think Jimmy Butler's scared of Boston? You think Joel Embiid doesn't want the smoke from the South? They led them in last year.
You know, is Boston saying, come on, yeah. Miami.
Well, you should hit up your boy Bill Simmons. I wonder if he's kind of getting nervous because Boston was amazing this season. And if they stumble in game one or two against Miami or Philly, it's like, oh my gosh, here we go again, choke city.
Well, if I was the Celtics, I'd rather face Philadelphia because I think Miami's history, giant killers in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got a lot of injuries. Miami, I don't think Miami's going to win. Spread is 5 tonight. Sixers favored by 5. Big number. Any action for you? I'm on the Hawks and
I thought the Warriors would rally. So I thought the Warriors would win last night, but then they couldn't beat the Pelicans or the Lakers. And they'd get back, So I thought last night they'd summon like one more great game. That was my guess. Yeah. My guess wrong. So, by the way, Klay Thompson, what to do with Klay Thompson? So I was looking at these numbers. He had a very good April. So his last 3 months, he averaged 16 in February, 18 in March, 23 in April. My theory is that Steve Kerr and Steph were running a lot of the offense through Klay Thompson to send a message to the owner, Joe Lacob, look, he's valuable, we need him. Because Kerr wants him, Steph and Draymond want him, but the owner's got to write the check, and Orlando may write a big one to get him. So here was Steve Kerr. He was 0 for 10 last night. It was not the kind of night that Klay Thompson needed fighting for his warrior survival, but here was the coach after.
Klay's presence means so much to the spacing on the floor, to the flow of the offense, and he's still got good years left. And I know I speak for everybody in the organization. We want him back. What Klay has meant to this franchise, as good as he still is, we desperately want him back.
Yeah, I would take him back for the right number, but it's a very team-friendly number. Last year, playoffs, he looked washed, and last night, like, couldn't get a shot. So we all go to high school reunions. Everybody's happy. There's going to be documentaries and cool statues. All these guys are getting statues, but sometimes, Clay, you don't want to become a statue on the floor. So I don't know what they do. Winning basketball games is a business. This does not feel close to a run it back roster. They can't win play-in games. So here's Draymond echoing the same sentiments on Klay Thompson.
I don't think there's any scenario where Klay leaves and that's the best decision for this team and organization. They've shown nothing but respect, loyalty, love, trust to us. So I got no reason to go into it like, oh, man, they're not going to do right by Klay. They did right by me. I have no reason to think that our ownership group aren't going to take care of us the way we've taken care of this organization.
That's interesting. Let's bring in Chris Mannix, senior writer, Sports Illustrated. You tell me. I mean, it doesn't feel like a run-it-back roster. They also have the kid they drafted from Santa Clara Pods, who's got tons of energy. He's not quite the refined product, but he's a good, good player, high energy, great motor. Your takeaway on Klay Thompson, what happens?
Yeah, it does not look like a run-it-back roster, because even though this team went 27-12 down the stretch, they still finished the 10th seed and got creamed by a Kings team without Malik Monk and without Kevin Huerter. So the facts kind of speak for themselves. Now, I talked to a couple of team executives this morning about what they would offer Klay Thompson in free agency, and their guess was somewhere between $20-25 million per year over a 2- or 3-year deal. They also guessed that Klay Thompson is going to be looking for significantly more in that deal. So there's going to have to be a reckoning, I think, in that Golden State front office. Joe Lacob, the owner, has made it clear he wants to take this team under the luxury tax next season. They spent $380 million on salaries and tax penalties this year. He wants to get them under the tax that next season. That can begin with excising Chris Paul from the roster, but it's going to lead to a hard conversation with Klay Thompson where they say to him, we think you're worth X. If you think you're worth Y, go out there and see if it's out there for you.
Yeah, I get that. You know, we were talking about, I threw out my scenario. The Clippers unravel against the Mavericks, and Paul George is like, I'm a California guy. I don't want to leave the state, but I'm over this. I'm over Harden. I'm over Kawhi. And then he moves up north, and then you can keep a lot of your Moses Moody, Kuminga, and frankly, you give LeBron a call because Steph's timeline's probably 3 more great years. But I do think Paul George is somebody, I mean, he chose California. Is that crazy to think? Because if you do that with Paul George and you move off Chris Paul, you could keep a lot of the parts. Otherwise, what would they do?
I don't know if the audience wants to be bored with salary cap machinations and exactly why things will or won't work because of the first apron and the second apron. Just to say, it would be exceedingly difficult, if not impossible, for the Warriors to pull off a deal that brings Paul George to Golden State. It would have to be presumably a sign and trade deal. Maybe Paul George opts into his contract. There's just a lot of obstacles standing in the way of Golden State, which is what makes this situation that they're in so problematic. I mean, they can rely on some organic growth next year. I think Kuminga is a star in waiting. I think he's going to become an even better player next season. You mentioned, you know, Brandon Podzinski. He is someone that's going to get better in a more enhanced role. So even if Klay Thompson leaves as a free agent, they can fill in some of those voids with the players that they already have. But Colin, we're talking about a team that has made championships the bar, 4 championships during this era. There really is no scenario where you can look at this Warriors team and say a tweak there, a twist there, and they are a championship contender. That's why I think this offseason is going to lead to some very hard conversation that Warriors front office about where this team goes from here.
So LeBron is 12-0 in his last 12, like game sevens, play-in games, in-season tournament. He, in this roster, I said before, is that if they were a band, they could give you great performance. But they're not a world tour band. They're just LeBron's old and AD's older than his age, and they don't have a lot of dependable parts. But you could get one great night out of them. I think they match up pretty well with Denver. Don't think they'll beat them. Probably get beaten 5. What transpires, in your opinion, in that series?
Well, Colin, I'm sitting here in Nick Wright's chair in New York City, so I feel like I should be infused with LeBron and Lakers optimism, but I'm just not right now. I mean, you look at the most recent history, a four-game sweep in the conference finals last year. The Nuggets went 3-0 against the Lakers this season. Yes, the margin of victory in those games was very tight. The Lakers were not blown out in many of them. So you have some reason to believe they'll be competitive in this series. And I'm sure there's an argument to be made that catching the Nuggets early might be better for them than catching them late. But you can also make the argument that the Nuggets are not exactly sleepwalking into the postseason. They won 6 of their last 8 games. And despite some of the adversity that they faced during this regular season, they still finished in a statistical tie with Oklahoma City for the best record in a competitive Western Conference. So you really got to squint to look for the Lakers' pathway to victory. But I'll do it for you if you want. The pathway to victory is D'Angelo Russell playing out of his mind. D'Angelo Russell, after the All-Star break, averaged about 20 points per game, shot 41% from three. Those are excellent numbers. You saw him down the stretch against the Pelicans last night making a key three-pointer. They need the D'Angelo Russell that played the second half of this season, played in the play-in, has played in for a lot of his time with the Lakers to show up in this series and not be the D'Angelo Russell that was virtually unplayable in that series against Denver. The Nuggets just played D'Angelo Russell right off the floor. And if he is that same player, this series is going to be over very quickly.
So let's go to the East. Miami and Philly play. Boston will be favored over both. But I would rather face Philly, even though I'd have to face Embiid. I don't want to face Spoelstra, Butler. I'd like to get out of that. There are these weird teams in sports that just rise, and they're just a pain. I don't want to face Spoelstra, Jimmy Bam. I don't want to. But as somebody that covers the Celtics, are either of those teams capable of pushing Boston and making them a little uncomfortable?
Yeah, I think Miami is the team the Celtics would most likely like to avoid, even though the Heat are probably a weaker version of the team we saw last year. Yeah. They're still Miami. They're still brilliantly coached. They've still got a great closer in Jimmy Butler. And Celtics, historically, at least over the last 10 years, have really played well against the 76ers. Al Horford plays really well against Joel Embiid. That's probably the matchup that they would prefer in the first round. But any first-round matchup for the Celtics right now is a little bit concerning because the Celtics, they haven't played like a meaningful game since Ash Wednesday. I mean, they have been basically just sleepwalking through the last month and a half of the regular season. I was at the game last week against the Knicks, a meaningful game kind of for both teams. The Celtics suited up their starters. The Knicks suited up their best players. And the Knicks just kicked the crap out of them. So the question of whether or not the Celtics are going to be sharp, having another week off, having not played meaningful games in a while, going up against the potentially sharp or focused Miami or Philadelphia team, that is a cause for concern early in that series. Watch that game one for the Boston Celtics. If they lose that game, there are going to be some alarm bells going off in Boston.
So sometimes this happens, Chris, where a story is better than a team. And I think that's the Knicks. Julius Randle gets hurt. More of the offense runs through Brunson, and he's terrific. He's the best quarterback in New York, including Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones. I love him outside of Ewing. I think he's my favorite, you know, Knicks guy since maybe, I don't know, Allen Houston or Walt Frazier, whatever. But I think the story is better than reality. When he's off the floor, it's not a highly functional offense, and I think they're going to get doused in the first round. And then I think they're going to go big game hunting, Carl Anthony Towns, something like that. Give me your thoughts on the Knicks, the future, the now. There's not enough offense here to me to win a playoff series, is there?
I think there's enough offense to win a first round series. Is there enough offense to beat a Milwaukee team in the second round? Is there enough offense to beat the Celtics in the conference finals? That's very much an open question. Look, I had many questions about the Knicks even before this Julius Randle injury, because the history of the Knicks stars in the near playoff past has not been very good. Julius Randle has been great. During the regular season, the Knicks have made the playoffs. He has been categorically awful in the postseasons. Now, Jalen Brunson wasn't bad in the playoffs last year, but you look at the three-point numbers, he shot better than 40% in the regular season. He was around low 30s during the postseason. That's not going to get it done in a postseason series. So when you go up against teams that have good defensive players and good defensive coaches, and they're able to dig into one team with one really serious option, that's going to make a Knicks deep playoff run, I think, really problematic.
All right, you had, you're an MVP voter. I would go Luka Jokic, SGA, Jalen Brunson, maybe a four, I don't know, but I could argue both, but I do think Luka really taking Kyrie to a place LeBron did, where basketball trumps everything, I think it's substantial. Because I think if you look at LeBron, Kyrie in Boston, Kyrie in Brooklyn, Kyrie pre-LeBron in Cleveland, it's not the talent. It's, you know, there's stuff. And I think Luka's solved it. And that to me, if there's a tiebreaker, I think that's substantial. What was your vote?
I like that. Normalizing Kyrie is kind of a criteria for winning MVP. Not that I necessarily disagree with it. I mean, it clearly works between Kyrie and Luka Doncic, but I use other criterias there, Carl. I mean, look, it was incredibly close between Jokic, Luka, and SGA, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got my MVP vote this year because, look, he took over and is the leader of the youngest team in the NBA and the youngest team to ever win the number one overall seed. This was a player that last year was on a team that was a lottery team, takes them all the way to the number one seed, put up the kind of statistics offensively that we have not seen since Michael Jordan's best seasons, since Steph Curry's MVP seasons. And one of the more important differentiators that I used for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is that he is a two-way player. He's top 10, top 12 in defensive win shares. You got to go a little bit further down to find Nikola Jokic and way further down to find Luka Doncic, who is not a better than average defensive player. So all three of these guys put up great numbers, but Shai's team success on a team that was nowhere last year, and the fact that I think he's the best two-way player of the bunch, that gave him a slight edge on my ballot.
I like it. How about that, J-Mac? I like that. Listen, it's close. It's inches. The argument, value is what are you doing? It's not a stat. If it's just scoring, Luka's going to win a lot. So Jokic, I would make this argument, Chris, that once you win the championship, it's different. There, you don't have that pressure. Luka still faces that, right? SGA faces that. So Jokic doesn't face that, like, impending pressure. Jason Tatum now faces real pressure. Bro, you got to get to the finals. This team is stacked. So the argument, if you make that argument, it comes down to Luka and SGA. Well, Luka has, like, a guy that was a hit a bucket at a finals guy in Kyrie. SGA's got Chet Holmgren. So, J-Mac, your reaction to that? That's interesting to me.
I just don't see how you can put SGA on Luka's level.
Well, as what?
Like you said, Chet Holmgren comes in and they improve by 15, 20 wins. Like, Kyrie Irving was there last year. They're better because Luka is a better defensive player this year. I think Chris would probably agree.
Is SGA a good defense? Does defense matter at all? It does?
Yes, I would say defense matters, you know, significantly. The Thunder, outside of rebounding, they're a near flawless team. And SGA is a big reason for that. I watched a lot of Oklahoma City games this year. SGA is often deployed on one of the better, if not the best, wing player on an opposing team. It helps. He's got Lou Dort there, who's a great defensive wing as well. But SGA oftentimes plays against top offensive players. He also gets the free throw line an absurd amount. His clutch numbers are ridiculous. Look, This was the hardest MVP ballot I have filled out in about, you know, 15, 20 years of doing it, because all three guys you can make a compelling case for. But I think Shai, again, being the two-way player and having a team that, even by virtue of tiebreaker, was the number one team in the Western Conference, I think that means something. I think winning matters, and SGA's team won at a high level this year.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It's one of the better votes. A lot of international guys and a lot of great players. All of them certainly worthy of it. Chris Mannix, as always, good talking to you, my man.
You got it, Colin.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just one of those inches, not feet, years. Like that SGA, when you really think about it, it's like, I kind of had him third because is he as influential? But I mean, their roster's interesting. It's just all kids. I've said this multiple times. North Carolina's average age was 22 and a half. I think OKC's average age is like just under 23. It's all kids. And he's leading them to the number one seat in the significantly better conference. Yeah, well, we acknowledge it's the AFC to the NFC.
Why are they 15 or whatever wins better? Did they move up from, you know, potential team to number one seed? There's one big difference on that team, and that's Chet Holmgren is there, who impacts play at both ends. Yeah. He played in, I think, almost every game this season. Might have been every game. Like, there's just not that much different with Dallas, except Luka's now defending. All you guys did was bag on Luka. He doesn't defend. He couldn't defend Jason McIntyre in a rec league. Luka's come out, and the numbers say he has been a very, very good defender. He's showing he's willing to adapt and, you know, become a guy who's not a turnstile on the defensive end.
Remember that picture of Luka once? We thought it was real, where he was having a beer on a playoff day?
Right.
A smoke and a beer? The internet.
Well, you know these European guys. You're a big traveler. You go to Europe. You're
no, I don't. Hey, listen, when you're 15, 16, you're having a glass of wine in Italy with your parents.
Yeah, you were knocking back two or three, no?
No. Nah, mom and dad, we had to sneak it. Oh. Milwaukee's best.
Beast, yes. Oh, yeah.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the average age of the Thunder, my staff just looked it up, 23 years of age, 23.4. That's by the way, NC State, Alabama, Purdue, UConn, similarly, you're talking 21, 22-year-old teams. So the fact they're a number one seed is just crazy. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So this Bill Belichick stuff swirling around today, very interesting.
Reports
are now indicating Belichick has told people close to him he has interest in coaching the Cowboys, Eagles, or Giants. All three teams' coaches could be on the hot seat by Thanksgiving. We don't know. Obviously, we don't know how the season is going to shake out. But, Colin, it's interesting. Belichick let the whole Apple series come out. He let everybody kick him while he was down. And now it feels like Belichick's kind of rising up and maybe telling his side of the story.
Well, this story comes out on a day another story comes out.
Yep.
Where, you know, Atlanta, he wasn't one of the top three choices. So this is Belichick getting his people to diffuse some of that negativity around him on shows like this and others, get the word out that Bill is very interested. So what you're doing is, instead of on this news cycle being dominated by Belichick wasn't top three, Bill's side leaks this, and it usurps it. Now we start talking about this.
Okay. So we didn't get a chance to spar at all over the earlier Belichick topic. I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Kraft sabotaged Bill with the Atlanta Falcons?
No, I think Bill sabotaged Bill.
But I mean by, like, do you believe that Kraft said, he can't be trusted and all this stuff that came out in the article?
If Andy Reid retired tomorrow, you couldn't do what you did to Bill, because he gets along with people. He's collaborative. He's fun. He's joyful. Bill's issues are Bill.
But according to Bill, according to sources in that story, Bill told the Falcons, I'll be collaborative. I'll work with the GM. I'll work with the front office.
People didn't believe it because he's never done that in his career. I mean, if somebody told you, hey, new me, I'll be at the gym every day, and they're 50 and they've never been to a gym. New lifestyle. Every day I'm going to be on the treadmill. You'd be a little bit of a cynic.
This is different. Belichick was run out of New England. It's, you've got to change. If you're not going to change, you're not getting a job. Are you going to change? And it sounds like he told the Falcons he was.
I would say this. If you set the ground rules with Bill, don't give me this Parcells, I'm making the food, I got to chew. You are not drafting the players. I'm not interested in that.
But
you coach them. We have a GM and a scouting department. Your opinion will not sway us at all. If I feel it, I'll run you out of the building. I would put it in the contract. If you're not collaborative, I don't want your drafts. Bill's last seven drafts when he got power are awful.
We know. Yes, that's a fact. That's correct.
Well, that's kind of the league to get. And by the way, you say he's interested in the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles. Giants don't have their quarterback yet. They may draft one.
They could be the worst team in the league and have a top three pick.
No, worst team in the league. Well, you're right.
They
my
horrendous.
Bad.
Horrendous.
Yeah, it could be bad.
Give me their skill position players. Come on,
first
they got
of
nobody.
All, if Bill sending out that he's interested in coaching these, is Bill considering the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles have head coaches?
Well, okay, let me just
that's
wrap
up. Not great
Falcons.
Form, by the
Let's
way.
Let's go back to that Falcons, because you said he didn't finish in the top three.
Well, that's what the reports
Why?
Are.
Yeah. Why would the owner invite him and be hot to be the first one to talk to him and then not even have him finish in the top three?
Because
something clearly went down.
Well, the owner invited him because Bill was on the market. Nobody knew if he was going to get a job or not. So Arthur Blank's like, get down here. Let's fly him in on my private jet. And then after Bill leaves, you make calls and around the league.
Well, is it around the league or is it Kraft? Because Bill, for that story are indicating Kraft put the kibosh on Bill.
Well, no, the story indicates that they didn't kill it, but they didn't do him any favors, and they were candid when asked about his nature of ruling with a thumb. That they felt like every book I've read, you could go to Jeff Benedict's, Ian O'Connor, Seth Wickersham, every book you read on the Patriots is Bill was difficult with Kraft. Mm. And I've said this on the show for years. When you read those books, you can tell that Kraft and Belichick, there's animosity. I mean, Bill was much more fun-loving in his first 5 or 6 years. He could be funny with the media, whether it's Spygate, whatever it is. Bill got grumpy. Bill ruled with an iron fist. He wasn't as collaborative at the end. I mean, like, he just shooed off the scouting department in January, I was told, by two people who had worked around that organization. So I'm not anti-Bill. I mean, I put Edelman on the show. Brady will be on the show. I was considered a Patriot homer forever. But when I see old guys start ruling with an iron fist and it doesn't end well, look in the mirror. Stop blaming people.
So I'll wrap up with two questions. Who's coaching the Cowboys in 2025, Belichick or Deion Sanders?
Neither.
McCarthy staying?
There'll be an offensive coach, Houston's offensive coordinator. Bobby Slowick.
Bobby
Slowick. He'll get a look.
We take him over Deion.
Ben Johnson. I think Jerry will hire somebody that excites him and he's giving a break to. Coaching the Cowboys, the biggest brand. Jerry likes to feel important with the owner. Mike McCarthy was on the beach. Jason Garrett was like his son. Who would have else would have hired Jason Garrett?
So
Bill, right? The only two times Jerry's had success with coaches, Jimmy and Bill, they didn't need him. Okay, so Jason Garrett kind of needed him. McCarthy kind of needed him. The recent history is Chan Gailey, Wade Phillips, kind of those kind of guys that, you know, Jerry, he hires people like he's saving them or giving a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Jerry needs that. So it'll be somebody like a Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick doesn't know a damn thing about developing a culture. Meanwhile, Belichick does and Deion does. That would be a grave mistake. Finally, I don't know if I can use you as a reference going forward. The way you're taking Kraft's side here, I don't think I can put you down.
Well, once you get non-collaborative, like, then
you've
got to work well with Ryan on those hockey scores.
Yeah, what's hockey? All right, next subject. Patrick Mahomes. Colin, his fame continues to rise, obviously. Three Super Bowl MVPs. He's just collecting accolades left and right. Now, he has been named one of the most influential people in the world, according to Time magazine. And he says he's not ready to be anywhere near the GOAT status.
Yes.
That's right.
Brady's the GOAT. He is the most talented quarterback I've seen. He's not the GOAT. A lot of people are talented. It takes time. You got to win things. I mean, Michael Jordan walked into the NBA and was dropping points on everybody. He couldn't get past the... Michael Jordan didn't just get talented, wasn't just great when he beat the Celtics and the Pistons. He was great the minute he walked in the league. So...
Also, don't forget, Mahomes lost a Super Bowl, so he can't be ahead of Joe Montana. I'm making fun of the Michael Jordan fans and the LeBron.
Well, right now, I would say Brady's the GOAT. Montana is probably... Along with Mahomes in that cat. Well, I mean, Joe Montana's 4-for-4 MVPs.
So?
What do you mean, so?
It's a team sport. Come on.
So is basketball.
Nobody.
How was Jordan pre-Pippen?
Look, Joe Montana was an amazing quarterback in his time.
He played in the 80s.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the 50s, not Y.A. Tittle.
In his time, he was really awesome. Yeah, he had a stacked deck.
When was Montana playing for the Niners? Was it early 90s, late 80s?
It was 80s.
Well, yeah, but the football was a lot of the same things back then. We're not talking Jerry West back in the early 70s.
He was great.
When the NBA Finals were on tape delay after the 11 o'clock news.
He's an all-time great.
Joe Montana is an all-time great
quarterback. No doubt. It's not a slight to say he's third all-time behind.
Well, he's 4-for-4. How many's Mahomes have? He's 3-for...
Three out of four. He lost one to the Bucks.
Not good enough.
Don't be that.
He just edged
Bill
ahead of...
Bill Russell won 11!
Again, that's the 60s when there were four teams. You know, now we're. You know, I'm saying there's lines. Like, to me, when did Montana play?
By the way, the 80s is closer to the 60s than today is to the 80s. You know that,
but
right?
But I look at 80s sports as the real thing. The 70s is different.
Well, good. Okay, glad we established.
Guys were barely using weights in baseball.
Guys are smoking cigarettes at halftime in the NFL.
No, Len Dawson was out there knocking down Pepsis and... you know, Rockets at halftime. So Montana played 79 to 90, his great years, mid-80s on. That feels like a current player. Troy Aikman's a current player. Bart Starr, I don't count 60s.
Yeah,
in fact, only old-school quarterback that I think could play today and would be great was Roger Staubach. He was unbelievable. He was 20 years before his time.
My parents weren't even in this country, I don't think, at that time. Anyways, so the whole Montana thing, he's like a Magic Johnson. He comes in against Bill Walsh and then Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Roger. He's awesome. Dwight Clark. They had ridiculous teams. Montana was
Andy
totally
Reid,
stacked.
Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, Steve Spagnuolo, the Hunt family.
Oh, Spagnuolo fired
smartest young
times.
GM in the sport. Yeah, didn't have any support there.
No! The 49ers were like the glamour team of the NFL in the 80s.
Well, who do you think the glamour team right now in the NFL is?
That's because of Patrick Mahomes. Come on. You're not really doing this. Are you just joking around?
You don't think Andy Reid is in the argument for the greatest coach in league history?
He 100% is. Because of Patrick Mahomes. He got run out of Philly. Come on.
Belichick got run out of Cleveland before he got Brady.
After for 3 years. Reed was in Philly for over a decade.
And got to Super Bowls and five NFC championships.
Didn't win a damn thing. Anyways, final story. Gosh, that was oddly heated. the Clippers are playing the Mavericks Sunday in a series that I can't wait for. Kawhi has missed the last 8 games due to knee inflammation. Ugh. Status for game 1 is unclear. Ty Lue has been cryptic about it. But then, Colin, out of the blue yesterday, Kawhi Leonard taking the last USA basketball roster spot. What? I was shocked by
this. I like your suggestion. Zion. Who would you rather watch? I'd rather watch Zion in the Olympics.
We don't know if Kawhi is going to be healthy.
Tunisia, get a load of this.
We don't know if Kawhi's going to be healthy in a week, a month. Who knows? Now, Zion, obviously, a little.
I mean, Zion has had injury issues, too, but I love his game. Kawhi is good, but I'm over it.
He's box office. He's not Caitlin Clark, but people are going to tune in for Zion.
Is Zion at the Olympics? Yeah, I'd watch that. Dusseldorf will have no game plan to stop him. None.
Yeah, no, we've had some good. What is today? Tuesday?
Don't we have another story on a guy in the NBA getting whacked?
Yeah, that's coming up. We're waiting. Some more details are trickling out. A guy did get not whacked, like mob whacked, but he got a lifetime ban. We'll talk about it later. It's not fully done, the story. So.
Well, his career is fully
done. His career is toast.
Over.
But we're waiting on one important detail.
I think it's so funny that you literally look at Joe Montana and go, "Huh." I mean, look at Bill Walsh, Jerry Rice. Yeah, and he had to go through a cowboy dynasty.
What cowboy dynasty was that?
You see who San Francisco beat in these great Super Bowls and these great NFC championships? They were facing great teams.
In the 80s? Yeah, I guess I got to do my... I thought the Cowboys were a juggernaut in the 90s.
Well, they were in the 90s, but I'm saying...
Danny White in the... Yeah, I know some 80s. I know some 80s. I'm not a 70s guy. But those Cowboys teams were nothing compared to the 90s Cowboys team. Come on.
All right. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I mean, nobody does it on an island. So you can argue that the Chiefs have a top 3 owner, a top 3 GM, a top 1 coach, the best tight end ever, the best defensive coordinator arguably in the league. For a time, they had the fastest football player on the planet. I mean, don't tell me they haven't had Chris Jones. Isn't he now that Aaron Donald's out? Name a defensive lineman you take over Chris Jones.
Quinnen Williams. Lineman.
Huh?
Quinnen Williams of the New York Jets.
They may disband that thing after Aaron's podcast. It may be better off just shipping them to UFL. All I'm saying is you're saying they don't have best head coach, best top coordinator, best GM, great ownership. Not a lot of support. That's a good place to play, too. You also got the wacky Raiders and mostly the goofy Chargers for most of my life in those divisions. I mean, seriously, the Chargers have been talented forever, but we keep waiting for the Chargers. Harbaugh thinks going to be the guy that's like, can you guys finally overachieve? And then the Raiders have been, you know, for 20 years have been kind of a grease fire. So, I mean, there's been some benefit. And I love Mahomes, but you can't marginalize.
I mean, Joe Montana was a golden boy from Notre Dame. Patrick Mahomes, did he even win a bowl game at Texas Tech putting up indoor football numbers? Come on.
They don't play. It's a pillow fight in the Big 12.
Exactly.
Montana played against great Ohio State, Michigan defenses. Your guys out there have pillow fight in Lubbock.
Yeah, Montana was like the chosen one, you know?
He went in the third round. Yeah, he was chosen in the third round.
I know. Oh, jeez.
You're trying to marginalize Joe Montana.
I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying I don't think you can accurately compare the two, because what Mahomes has done has been more impressive than Joe Montana having a loaded Niners team.
Listening to you, you have Montana and Jeff Hostetler. Coin flip. It would go either way.
Ken O'Brien.
I like him, too. From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling's all Mercedes. The choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me,
Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday on FS1, two iconic teams go head-to-head as the Mets take on Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers. Coverage begins Saturday at 3 Eastern on FS1.
Speaking of Ohtani, people are talking. He's starting to hit really well now. He just had an 8-game hitting streak, 4 home runs. He's on fire. And people are saying he's unflappable. This guy, considering the controversy and the gambling saga around him, he's unflappable. And I would say don't confuse unflappable with innocent. Is that there's not a lot of mobsters that live to be 100. Now, maybe it's the sausage diet and the weaponry. But I would say that when you're hiding secrets, it wears on you. Clean living is a better life. It endures. And you can compartmentalize secrets and bad actions, but it shows up in stress and performance. And I think Ohtani's a victim. I don't think he's carrying any weight or hiding anything. I think if anything, it's embarrassing. And the moral to the story is with money, trust but verify. But I said from the very beginning, you're talking about somebody from overseas, got 8 bank accounts, had an interpreter, thought he was his friend. I've seen Billy Joel, Robert De Niro, Kevin Garnett, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tim Duncan. Countless pro athletes get jobbed by people with proximity, including agents. And here was the Dodgers manager talking about Ohtani during this saga.
He's very stoic. You know, you just don't know his emotions. He just kind of comes in every day the same, and you never know if things are good or things are bad or stuff's on his mind. He's a pro. He just wants to play baseball.
A couple of NBA things. Zion Williamson, who walked off the court, not hobbled last night, is out for Friday's play-in elimination game against Sacramento. So I don't know if there's ever been a guy drafted that was exactly what we thought, like Zion Williamson. I can remember when he got drafted, I was told, I worry about his weight by NBA insiders. Weight and injuries will be an issue. But when he's in there, he'll be a freight train and really hard to stop. And that's exactly what he's been. He's been everything people thought he would be. Weight struggles, injured a lot, but man, if you watched that game last night, there was no stopping him. He got 40 points, then left the court. Nobody knows exactly why, but here it's kind of a hamstring thing, left hamstring, so he leaves. In terms of the Warriors, whose season ends again, third time in 5 years, they get eliminated from the playoffs a couple of times in play-in games. Let's start with Steph on Klay Thompson's the loss in Klay's future.
Can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it, and we're not gonna play forever, but you know, we've experienced so much together, and at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win, I know I want to win, and that's all I worry. That's all I'm worried about.
Yeah. Players coach want him back. Charles Barkley on TNT about Klay's future with the Dubs.
They're going to have to make a hard decision on Klay. Klay's not going to get younger. Do you sign him for 3 or 4 more years, which he won't? He's not going to get better. He's going to make less money, but he ain't going to get no better. Older people don't get, sports ain't for old people, they're for young people. That's no disrespect. Klay's a Hall of Famer, but he's lowered his number, but he ain't, you know, just because he lowered his number don't mean he's going to play better as he ages.
That's a great way to put it. Sports is for young people, it's not for old people. So what would you do, J-Mac? Would you sign him or not? If he was willing to come off the bench and take the best number available, he would take less than the market bears, because somebody may overpay him.
Well, so let's say Orlando offers him 25 a year.
And he says, I'll take 20.
From the Warriors?
Yeah.
So hold on, let's just recap. The Warriors had the most expensive payroll in NBA history and did not get out of the play-in, Colin. They were the 10 seed. Why are you bringing him back? I think you got to break up the band. I know it's tough.
Well, I think so too.
Just remember, the best time to do a rebuild is last year. That's the best time to do. Do not say, oh, we'll give it one more chance. I know Curry wants that, but you know what? Like, sorry, bud. And I'm the biggest Curry guy ever. Like, I'm a huge fan. I don't think you can do it. Yeah. And now Wiggins, what can you get for Wiggins? Like, I'm not sure you can get much for him.
Well,
off an awful season.
Yeah, I think that's done. But I think the Chris Paul stuff's easy. The Wiggins stuff is easy. You know, I think everybody is movable except Steph, and I wouldn't want to move Draymond because I think Draymond is a very unique catalyst offensively. He's a unique piece. He had a great last several months.
Just remind me, why is LeBron or Giannis coming to play with that, whatever carcass is of the old Warriors?
Carcasses, that's
it. I mean, I don't get it. It doesn't
Giannis
make sense.
Giannis is on the oldest roster in the league, and LeBron could be sitting there thinking, D'Lo is what he is, Austin Reeves is a 4, and AD's been healthy for a year and a half, and that's not going to last, yeah. And I'm not sure I like Darvin Ham.
I
can get Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and Draymond. LeBron loves all those guys. I'd absolutely consider it.
You know who loved all the... Kevin Durant loved Kyrie Irving. How'd that work out? I don't know. I just...
You're comparing...
LeBron's not leaving L.A. Let's just be real. He ain't going nowhere.
It's a 48-minute flight or something.
He's not.
Are you sure?
His whole family. A positive.
His son gets drafted and goes to Orlando.
Orlando's not taking Bronny. They're not.
I heard they're very interested.
Orlando is lovely this time of year, you know?
It is. In about 3 weeks, it's
they
not
just
lovely.
Don't know the NBA playoffs because they're never there.
Yeah.
No, but this year.
I don't think it's crazy to suggest LeBron James has always been a capitalist and an opportunist. If they get doused for the second year in a row by Denver in 4 or 5.
At least they got to face Denver.
Oh, gosh. What a Christmas present that is. Hour 3 coming up next.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.